Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I am your host, Liz Fidler Morgan. And this week's episode, we're going to talk about my flower farm journey and how the business evolved over the years and the growth of not just the sales, but the expenses and my time commitment and my role within the flower farm. And I want to just peel back the curtain on what this really looks like, because I think that, you know, social media, Instagram, whatever it might be, those flower farms that you see, you just see the highlight reel. And maybe they're showing the really hard parts behind the scenes too, but there's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad, there's a lot of hard things, there's a lot of easy things, there's a lot of months of profitability, there's a lot of months where I'm thinking, what the hell am I doing? Why am I doing this? And it just ebbs and flows. And you guys know me, I'm kind of an open book. That's why I started my coaching business, because I craved a need for transparency. I wish someone could just answer some of my questions, be honest with me, tell me what this really looks like, show me that it's actually possible. And what I was seeking wasn't there. So I decided to offer it for others. And I just want to just bring you along for the ride. So year one of my flower farm was summer of 2020. And it really just started out with this little hobby farm stand. I was working full-time as a nurse practitioner. Our daughter was 2.5 years old. My late husband, he did pass away that December. And I just, if you are new to this, that is something that really shaped my journey and, you know, is important to share why I got into evolving this business the way I did. But that summer, when he was alive and we didn't, you know that he was going to die of a heart attack, we started this little side hustle just for fun. We really, honestly, actually, if I'm going to be honest, it was so that we could have a Schedule F on our taxes and we could be zoned agriculture because we live on 40 acre hobby farm. And it really was just going to be a hobby farm and pay for the hobby and make a little side hustle, but it was never going to turn into what it has now. And ultimately, I'm glad I didn't know. I'm so glad we didn't know. We had a lot of fun just starting this little farm stand. And honestly, there weren't any really in this area. And it was something that I had grown up with, a little honey stand half a mile down the road 20 years ago. And that was my goal, was her stand was take the honey, leave the money. And we were going to have a little farm stand. And we did jellies and jams and canned goods. And we had our cottage food license. And it was just kind of this fun little thing. So we sold about $7,000 worth of flowers. And our farm stand was open 7 days a week because we really didn't go anywhere because it was COVID and even restaurants were closed to in-person dining. You had to eat outside. And essentially, we had just this big cut flower garden. And I would say it was maybe 20 feet by 30 feet. It wasn't even that big. And I had probably 15 snapdragon plants, 9 dahlias, 20 to 30 cosmos, celosia. I had some lisianthus that I had bought from a garden center, zinnias, basil, and then I used the sedum, hydrangeas, phlox, and hostas from my landscaping beds. And a lot of the flowers were direct sown or they were smaller starter plants that I got from a garden center. It was that May that I decided to just start growing a cut flower garden. And so for Mother's Day that year, my late husband, Josh, was like, hey, just go spend a couple $100 at the garden center. I'm like, oh, okay. And just had fun buying some plants. And literally it was a hobby. And then I was like, oh, I could sell these. I could have a flower garden. And it just turned into something else. We used overhead sprinklers. And then I bought the cheap plastics weed suppressant from, either, you know, Fleet Farm or wherever it was, garden center and or garden department. And that was a terrible idea because it just kind of like disintegrated into my soil and there's still little flecks of it everywhere. And I'm really mad at myself for doing that. But again, lessons learned in buying the cheap stuff. And at the end of that season, you know, we sold every single stem that we grew. We were cutting from our landscaping. I did buy one, give one bouquets. So for every bouquet that sold, I donated a second one to a nursing home. And they were $15, buy one, give one. And then we donated, yeah, that same amount. So it was like 200 and some. And then there were some custom orders that people would message me. But out of the farm stand, we sold 200. And I started selling subscriptions for the next year. I used that subscription money to buy 1,000 tulip bulbs and 50 peony plants. And we planted those that fall. And we decided the next year, okay, we're going to have a subscription and the farm stand will be open when it can be, but who knows, because we were trying to get pregnant with another baby and we knew that, you know, the world was going to open up. My husband wasn't going to be working from home anymore. We just didn't know what things were going to look like, but we were a sole proprietorship and we only had a Facebook and Instagram page at that point. And we had a walk-in cooler, but we did not utilize it yet. And the walk-in cooler was because there used to be a USDA inspected butcher shop on this farm. But according to my husband, it was like $80 a day to run it electrical, which is total bullshit. That was not the truth, but he just didn't want me using it for like personal flower stuff. And I think that that's what his dad had always told him. So he just assumed it was ridiculously expensive and it's maybe 80 bucks a month, maybe. And electric has gone up quite a bit. So that's really all it costs right now. But anyway, neither here nor there. And I didn't know how to use a cooler and I didn't think I needed it. And we didn't because we sold everything day of. And it was really just about justifying, you know, the hobby on our taxes, having our daughter grow up, having some sort of responsibility. We sold the eggs from our chickens and it was really just kind of a supplement income for our W-2 job. We kind of broke even on it and it just was, it was fine. And then that December was when my husband passed away from a heart attack and I found out I was pregnant the day after the funeral. And so going into the flower business the next year, I was going to throw in the towel, but I had a ton of people reach out to me, one person in particular, and say, hey, we want to buy some flowers for Easter. And that turned into 300 bouquets that I sold and I had to shut it down. Now, that was like April, so I had to buy all these wholesale flowers. And I will tell you, I sold them for 30 bucks a piece. And they cost $22 a piece in flowers to make. So my profit margin was $8 per bouquet. And I mean, I spent between planning, making these, everything, it was like 100 hours probably. And it was, you know, obviously not feasible to do, but in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, I made so much money. I made, you know, it's like, no, I didn't. However, it was, you know, just really rallied behind the community. And I decided, okay, I'm going to add another 50 by 50 garden. My neighbor helped me till it up. My sister was living with me. I invested in some better irrigation fabric. And then that winter when I was still off of work, cause I took 3 months off work when my husband passed away, and I bought a bunch of grow lights and a mister and some shelves. And I started a ton of flowers from seeds, you know, snapdragons and celosia and you name it. So many different kinds of cut flowers. I started from seed and I had probably 20 trays and, you know, babied them all winter. And it was fine because I needed something to do. I needed a hobby. They were my baby. And I didn't factor that into, you know, profitability. I wasn't looking at it from that standpoint. And they just were a distraction. Honestly, that's all I needed. That's what flowers were for me at that point, was a distraction and something to look forward to every day. And, you know, I really didn't grasp, you know, the cost of anything beyond seeds and flowers. And I did start a website that was a WordPress blog that was just a contact form on it for free that when someone filled it out, they ended up, you know, it wasn't a point of sale system or anything yet, because I really couldn't justify, you know, having that on there. Yes, there's a 3% transaction fee, but to have like WooCommerce is like a $300 a year sunk cost, or maybe it's like 240 or something. But either way, like my sales were not high enough, especially because I wasn't going to do one-off sales. I was just going to sell subscriptions. And it just didn't make sense to me that, you know, for each transaction, it would be that dollar amount. And then I also used an Excel spreadsheet to track expenses and revenue. I did start my LLC that year. My cousin that's an attorney helped me figure that all out. So I was able to actually cash checks that were made out to Sunny Mary Meadow and not just to Liz Fiddler and try to get, you know, taxes sort of figured out at that point. And then I gave birth to our second daughter that August, and I was still just figuring out, you know, what was going to happen with it. We're going to do a quick break from this episode, and I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back. I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is, and I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at $10 an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there, and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website, because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode. I ended that year in sales at about $28,000 for the farm, but my expenses were still pretty high. I kept a lot of receipts. I learned a lot about, you know, depreciating things on my farm, and I was working that 3 days a week, but I think I only worked 6 months total that year because I didn't go back to work till like mid-March after my husband passed away. And then I had maternity leave from, you know, late August until probably mid-November. So, and then I worked 3 days a week as a nurse practitioner. So I did not, and then there was the flower farm. We had a really late frost that year, I remember too. And so all of my dahlias, I maybe had 80 dahlia plants that year, but I remember I made a buttload of money September and October in just like dahlia bouquet sales. That was a big chunk of it because obviously being pregnant, you know, but I know that I sold every single stem that I grew. And yeah, it was just fun. And then I decided for the next year to keep this sustainable, though, I was going to have to hire an employee. I was going to keep working 3 days a week as a nurse practitioner. And my goal was to do both because I can do both and that's fine. And I was in primary care. So I was a PCP. So when someone needs a refill on their meds, when they need, you know, a quick pre-op before surgery, when they need a physical, when they need FMLA paperwork done because they hurt their back or whatever it might be, that was on me. And it's really hard to do that part-time. My employer let me do it, but they did not let me like downscale my panel. I wasn't allowed to like stop taking on new patients. And so every day I went to work, it was like established care and I was still growing the panel and I wasn't working enough to justify taking care of the people that I already had. And it's a frustrating system, but I get it that these people need a home, but I did not have any more capacity to take on any more patients. And it was definitely a challenge. So that summer I hired my first employee, Lily, and she was phenomenal. We started doing a lot of stem bars at local breweries and I started them just to kind of minimize that waste and also build customer relationships when I saw them. And they went over like hotcakes. People flocked to them. We sold out so quickly at all of them. And we started really using the walk-in cooler and we added another garden space that year. So another 30 by 100 space. And then I turned our vegetable garden into flowers and that was like a 20 by 30 space. And then that summer, I would say, you know, my nurse practitioner job ended up being probably 30 hours a week because I was charting from home and I was trying to keep caught up on the in-basket. And if I took a day PTO, I came back to this stack a mile high of, you know, FMLA forms or whatever it would be, people needing notes for work and, you know, refills and prior authorizations and all of these things. And so that was like 30 hours a week that I was doing. And really, it was only supposed to be 3 8-hour days. And then on the farm, yes, I hired out a lot of the like bouquet making. And that's literally what Lily did, was picked flowers, pull weeds, and made bouquets. So then I spent a good 30 plus hours a week doing all the marketing, all the emails, all the bookkeeping, all the customers, Instagram messages, because I didn't have a point of sale on the website. So people were messaging there, and that was all I was doing. And it was not fun. So I was working my butt off at 60 hours a week. And we did about 80,000 in sales that year. And I knew that, okay, I'm not going to have another summer like this. So I got to figure out what that means. And I invested in about 1,000 peony plants. I invested in my first high tunnel that fall. And then we transitioned our garden that fall or the next year into 19 rows of our U-pick section. And I wanted a row of grass in between them and just really wanted it, you know, aesthetically pleasing and you could go through it. And that was when I was dating my boyfriend, Brent, who's now my husband. I'm remarried. And we were also living in a camper that summer because I was building a new house for the farm. Brent worked out of town still Monday through Friday. He was staying in hotels. So he really wasn't here very often. And it just trying to decide where I was going with this. But I knew that, okay, if people are showing up and buying $80,000 worth of flowers and I'm able to do this sustainably, now pretty much all of the profits that I had, I again reinvested into, you know, high tunnel. I bought ranunculus corms. I ended up buying 10,000 tulips that year for the next year, when the previous year I think I had 4,000, and the first year before that I had 1,000, and started just, you know, really, really growing into that. But I really wasn't paying myself a consistent paycheck, but I was paying like my property taxes, my insurance for the farm, and some utilities were coming out of that checking account. So it was like, okay, like this is all right, but no, I'm working too hard. I'm working 60 plus hour weeks. This sucks. And I don't get to do any of the fun stuff. I didn't have any systems in place. I still didn't have like a point of sale system. I didn't have, you know, my website sucked. That was when I was on Land of 10,000 Stories and the reporter won an Emmy for my story. And it just, my business exploded, but not in a way that I was prepared for it. My website got like 80,000 views in one day and it shut it down and it like broke the internet. And it was just all in all, it wasn't great to growth, but it was quick growth. So again, went from 7,000 to 28,000 to like 80,000, I think technically 78,000. And if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I think these numbers are made up because in another episode, she said 74,000. I think it was 78,000. Okay. I'm not going to go back and double check, but this is what I can remember based on, you know, everything that we grew. So then that next summer of 2023 was when things started getting serious. I left my job that March as a nurse practitioner and I cut back to just one day a week doing video visits, which I still do now. So full transparency, when I say I left healthcare completely, nope, I still work one day a week as a nurse practitioner. I do video visits from home. I'm so appreciative of my employer for allowing me to do that. I'm not going to give up my license. I worked really hard for this degree and nope, not doing that. And so I added 3 employees that summer and I started a podcast, this podcast, and I thought it was going to be for people wanting to hear about how to grow flowers, like my local customers. But really what ended up happening was people that wanted to start a business similar to mine. And that's how this started out. I started covering a lot more of the utilities and then I did start paying myself $1,500 a month, which isn't great, but I started doing it. So between my one day a week NP, this, and the business started really covering utilities and I added 3 more employees. Again, I could only afford to pay myself about that $1,500 a month because I invested in a lot of infrastructure. So like my workspace, my subscription pickup room, my cooling solutions. I bought some window ACs, insulated this garage space for like the bloom bar. We bought 20,000 tulip bulbs. We bought a new tractor. And yeah, just really bought a second high tunnel, more ranunculus corms, some more dahlia tubers. And at the end of the year, my business had a really firm foundation, but I invested in marketing, people, in infrastructure, basically to fuel the growth. And all of those peonies, I didn't, you know, didn't pick them. I just disbudded them and I pulled the weeds around them. And I started the U-picks that year, but I started realizing that there was significant employee expenses that goes along with that because of the weeding. And I just started looking at really the pros and cons of, you know, different offerings and what that was going to look like. So then this year, finally, I feel really good about where things are at. And all of the hard work in the past has really started paying off. So this year, I more than doubled my salary that I pay myself year round. Business now covers all the utilities, cell phone, internet, gas, electric. I obviously don't write off 100% of that because some of it's personal use, but a lot of it is business. But either way, like that's part of kind of my salary. And then we added this year, we did 10 weddings for the portfolio. We streamlined those custom orders. I established relationships with different florists. And right now it's October 28th. I'm projecting about 200,000 in sales for the year. And, you know, we sold about $20,000 to four different florists. I have pre-booked about $30,000 worth of weddings for 2025 already. We are looking at investing in a third high tunnel, and we are also breaking ground on a floral shop, a bigger cooler, and an event space. So I'm hoping that next year sales will be more like $250,000 and continue to grow. But I'm really looking at what those profit and losses are for each offering. Yeah. And just kind of what the business has evolved into and the focus of resale and wholesale. And I'm just constantly assessing where to invest and grow more efficiently. The other thing to note is that I have other jobs. I have the coaching, I have the podcast, I have sponsorships there. I work as an author. I work as a speaker, sufficient amount there. So that's, you know, saying that, okay, well, you can't survive off of this wage, this wage, this wage. If I wasn't paying all of these employees, my wage would be significantly higher. But I have decided to diversify a little bit from mid-June to literally late August. I bet I made less than 10 bouquets. And I just did a lot of the marketing, the bookkeeping, the accounting. You know, I had the email list already built. I did the social media, but that's really what I did. Brittany and Lydia were here. I had full-time help between the two of them on the farm. They were picking flowers, pulling weeds, making bouquets, working the U-picks, working the stem bars. I did the Monday night stem bars because they were here at the farm, but any of the offsite ones, I think I did one or two of them the whole year. Otherwise, they did the rest of them. I would be like the second person at the U-picks on Saturday mornings, but I always had one or two of them here making the subscriptions. That was all them. And it just really worked. And then I was able to focus on my other jobs that I have, which, yes, includes the podcast, the coaching, whatever, but I'm being really real on what the farm pays me for a salary. And so, you know, when you look at someone saying, you know, I have a six-figure flower farm or this or that, a realistic goal is maybe 30 to 40% profit margin, but it just depends. You know, to me, my profit margin's a little less when it comes to the actual flower farm, because I'm not the one working day to day into it. I'm not working 40 hours a week in this job. I'm not even working 20 hours a week for a lot of it. Now, April and May, September and October, yep, I'm putting in the hours. I'm, you know, doing all of that myself. I do the spring subscriptions are pretty much all me. But again, the way I do them, I'm able to really batch the work together and just pull tulips out of the cooler to make the subscriptions quick. And I can make 50 bouquets in a couple of hours. So yeah, it's turned into something that I never imagined. I never expected. I think that setting goals, investing wisely to build a business that suits your life is important. Again, if I hired a lot less help and did a lot more of the work myself, my salary would be significantly higher. You know, I know that there's going to be people who hear these numbers and, you know, this or that. But it's like, I mean, what do you think? Do you think I'm paying myself $200,000 a year from a flower farm? No, absolutely not. But it is possible. I think, you know, if I wasn't paying them a wage, it would be easily 60 to 80,000 a year that I could pull from it. And that's probably about what it is between all the utilities and stuff. Because if I didn't have a business, I would be paying those personally. That's just how it's easier for bookkeeping for me. And it's, you know, as long as you and your accountant are on the same page for what percentage of them actually get as, you know, part of a write-off and what part of it is like an owner's draw. But anyway, neither here nor there, that's a lot deeper into the accounting conversation. But my point is, here's a real peel back the curtain. I'm very happy to answer whatever questions you might have. I think that, you know, flower farming, figuring out what crops you want, you know, and I didn't dive deep into, you know, what things we grew. That's a whole other topic, but every year it evolved. No year was the same. You know, what I grew 3 years ago is nothing like what I grow now. It's leaning into those things that are the most profitable. It's getting rid of things that are not profitable. And just, yeah, learning how to run a business. And if you are interested in taking my PPP course, I would love to have more conversations. I would love to show you how we do it. I would love to have you join our Facebook group where it's just a bunch of like-minded individuals that are feeling the same way. But yeah, that is my real journey, and we'll see what happens next. I don't know. We'll see. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website at flowerfarmerforum.com. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at sunnymarymeadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.